So, I was listening to a dear friend of mine give a talk on change and seasons just a couple of weeks ago. And I thought, man, there's so much good information that he's spinning out in the world. And so I called him and was asking him a bunch of questions about some of the things that he said. And I said, I'd love to share some of the things that you bring into the world with my congregation because of what we're going through. And he's like, sure, absolutely. So I want to share just some insights that he gave to me, if that's okay. And then I'm going to give you some of my own insights. And then we'll see where that takes us. Does that sound good? Awesome. So I want to talk about seasons this morning. I want to talk about change. We were praying before the service began. And Chris Borromeo, also known as CB, Big Dog, he was praying about chapters, and he was just thanking God for this chapter in our life. So we have all this different terminology that we use, like chapters, seasons, time, moments, when to be present, when to be fully alive in those moments. And we have different ways of expressing different seasons in our life. And I was on my way to this location this morning. I was on 242 at 7:30, and I plugged my phone in. And when I plug my phone in, it naturally goes to my music library. And it just starts playing through like a shuffle. And as I'm driving along, Def Leppard came on. And it was the song Foolin' by Def Leppard, which is off of Pyromania. And you're like, how many sermons have you heard where the pastor was talking about listening to Def Leppard on his way to church? It's like, so many. So I'm listening to this song. And what's so amazing about music for me is that it brings up memories. It like takes you right back to a moment in life. And that album took me back to the 80s, which was like my decade. That was my high school days. And it took me back to this summer that I had that was centered around that whole album and all the memories that I had during that time. And it was such a sweet season in life. And do you remember when summers were actually really great? Because summer meant what? What did it mean to you? No school. That's pretty much the universal answer. No school. And no homework and no stress and deadlines. And as you get older, summer becomes something else. Summer becomes, you just continue on. You keep working and you keep going at it. But for kids, summer is really a magical time. And then that took me back to another memory, another season in my life when I was younger. I was around 7, and I had, my parents used to take us to California. We lived in Michigan, so we would go out to California to visit my mom's parents for about 5 weeks. So it was practically the whole summer. And I'm out there staying with my grandparents on their farm, and it was just 5 weeks of magic, you know, just like, when you're 7, everything is like magical and wonderful and different and unique, and especially in California, which is like, California is so cool, coming from Michigan especially. And I remember coming home after that, and I'm on the plane, and you know when you're young and your heart hurts so bad that you feel like you're going to have a heart attack at age 7? You're like, I feel like I'm having a heart attack. And then my parents said, well, you got to take a bath before you go to bed tonight. And so I'm taking a bath, and I'm just weeping in the bathtub. A 7-year-old child weeping in the bathtub, longing to get back to California, getting back to my grandparents because I felt like everything was coming apart and there was all this grief. What was going on was that I was grieving a memory. I was grieving, I was losing something. And anytime change happens, there's always an element of grief to it. If you've experienced that in life, when you know like a season's coming to a close and a new season begins, or whether it be weather patterns or just life in general, you go through change, and change, even though change is the only constant in life that we can absolutely be assured of, that it's going to happen, change is always going to happen, but it's always coming with an element of grief and pain. So when there's change and when there's a new season upon us, there's an element of like, ah, this doesn't feel good. Because when you're in a particular season and things are working and there's certainty and comfort, you just feel like, this is good, and I like this, and I like having that sense of certainty and commonality. And that took me to Ecclesiastes this week, and I was thinking about the writer of Ecclesiastes, and in chapter 3, the writer is talking about seasons, and he says, you know, there's a time for this and a time for that. You know, it's this rhythmic poem that he writes. You can do with this, and you can go with that, and you can go with this, and you can go with that. So a time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to embrace, a time to refrain from embracing is what he says. A time to keep, time to throw away, which many of us should practice. A time to plant, a time to uproot. And like, what is all of that? That's seasons, right? There's like moments when you celebrate something and then a change comes and then you move into a new season. Something is upon us. And what I'm learning as I'm going through life, and it's a journey for me. I'm almost 48 years old, and I'm learning that in order to be fully alive and to be fully like in the moment is to embrace change. It's to like embrace it. Everything is temporal. So you have to learn how to keep an open hand with things because things always change. Family changes. I remember, I'll never forget when we moved here 18 months ago. And before we moved here, we had to like go through all our stuff and think about like, what does it mean to move from something that we've been involved in for 15 years and then go somewhere else? And we were moving our son out. And some of you know how this feels. Like when you have a child, these little boogers, they grow up and then they leave you. That's what they do. And you enjoy them for a season and then they grow up and they move on. And our son was in the car, everything was packed up, and then all of a sudden the reality of like, oh my gosh, he's leaving. It just hits you like a ton of bricks and you just weep. Because you're like, oh, I'm sensing that there's a new season upon us and I do not like this season. But it's a reality. And it stems me to like my daughter, which my daughter, I enjoy Alex so much. I just enjoy the crud out of her. She's such a good human, you know, that you're like, I just want to take every moment with her and fully enjoy it. Because I know eventually she's going to leave too. And she has to. And this is good. And you want this because you know it's right for your child to grow and then to move on and create their own path and their own sense of what's coming next. But all those seasons are really, really hard. They're really hard and they hurt. And there's that element of everything is temporal and there always comes a form of grief. And when you're coming upon the end of a season, what I've noticed in my own life is that you tend to freak out, for lack of a better term. You just freak out because things are changing. And naturally, the brain, the human brain, doesn't like change. It's one of the things that I just kind of pre-wired in there. Your brain and all the way that it fires and the pathways, change is one thing it doesn't do well with. It just freaks out and it goes into panic mode. If this changes, then things aren't going to be the way that they used to be. Exactly. And that's the point. But at the same time, you're like, but I like the way things used to be because when the things were the way they used to be, I could actually have some sense of normalcy in that. And even in the dysfunction, it's still like, yeah, but it's dysfunction that I can understand. And we kind of stay in that moment. And there was when I was looking back at my own seasons of life, I remember one specific moment when my wife and I, and this wasn't with Edgewater, it was with another job situation, we had sensed that the season was coming to a close. And my wife, with her intuition and her right way of thinking, because women have this thing called intuition, and you women and your intuition, like, what is that? It's like, we can't get away with anything with you. But this intuition and her tuning into, this season's coming to a close, I think it's time for us to move into the next season. And what did I do? I freaked out, but I also said, nah, that ain't right. You're emotional. And because I wanted things to be safe, I wanted the paycheck, I wanted that sense of, No, we need to stay here because to move out of this, that's crazy. You don't do that. But she was right. And so instead of it being like when that season came to a close, instead of it being a graduation because we stayed too long, it was more like a divorce. Does that make sense? To where like now you stayed too long. And it's a really weird pattern in a dance to learn. Like when a season ends and then you move to this new season, it's like embracing that. Instead of staying in what is safe and what is known, you move into this new season. So as I was talking to my friend, he and I were reflecting on this passage in the Gospel of John. And there's this great moment in the Gospel of John where Jesus is talking to, after he's resurrected. He's resurrected. He's come back from the dead. And where does John put him? Do you remember where he puts him? Puts him in a garden. Isn't that interesting? So it occurred to me when I was thinking and talking and processing with my friend about Jesus being in a garden, that's like a throwback to Genesis. It's like, here's Jesus, he just resurrected from the dead, and he's in a garden. You think John's going, yeah, I think I'll just put Jesus in a garden, that makes sense. No, he's trying to tell us something really profound. Jesus is in a garden, and then Mary comes up to Jesus, he's in a garden. So like, I think what John is pointing us to is like, hey, everyone, new creation is upon us. I'm about to do something new. I just came back from the dead, and here I am in a garden, and new life is springing forth. So it's like a new creation story happening after Jesus is resurrected, which is really cool. Because if you think about the original creation story was good, and God was creating and creating new life and seeds producing, and we've talked so much about the creation story, and then here's Jesus, he resurrects from the dead, and he's in a garden, and new life is springing forth, and he's about to do something new. And Mary comes to him, and it's like just flabbergasted that Jesus is back. After 3 days being gone, she's thrilled. And what does Jesus say to her? Don't hold on to me. This is like, wait a minute, you just got back from the dead, you're here, I love you, I've enjoyed you immensely, and you're saying to me, don't hold on to me? It's like, ouch. It's like an Air Supply song gone bad. You know, just don't hold on to me, babe. Everything's going to be okay. And if I'm in her position and I hear Jesus say, don't hold on to me, I'm thinking, what are you talking about, don't hold on to you? Of course I'm going to hold on to you. I lost you. And I want things to kind of go back. And I think in that language, what we hear is this human need for things to go back to a certain way. It's like, no. I want to go back. I want to take it back to a time when there was all of this joy and this immense excitement. And Jesus says, no. Don't hold on to me, because we've got to go forward and we've got to go on to the next thing. New life is springing forth. There's a new creation about to happen with new experiences. And I'm about to do something new in the world. And I don't want you to miss that, because it's even better than what you experienced when I was here with you. So don't hold on to you. Have you ever noticed how people will make these statements? And I'm sure you've said it, because I've said it too. I want things to go back to the way that they were, like they used to be. So I want to go back to how it was, not to this new thing. And I see this in religious groups quite a bit. Religious people are notorious for this kind of language, where they'll make statements like, we need to get back to the good old days, which I'm not sure what the good old days were, but it's like, we want to go back to when you could just preach the word and people would show up, right? You just preach the word and people would show up. And many times what happens is this pull backwards and like, let's go back to how things really were. What actually is happening is you're heading in the wrong direction. So when you hear that language, we need to go back. I'm not talking about throw it all away, because there's some things that need to be reclaimed, but a sense of like, let's go back, let's pull it back. And what I see Jesus doing is he's pulling us forward, because history is unfolding and unraveling and new creation is springing forth. And instead of getting pulled back, Jesus is like, no, don't hold on to me. Let's keep going forward. Because we get dialed into a particular time in life or a particular season, and we like how everything is going. So for 18 months, I've been here, and it's been 18 months of grace and peace. And it's been a time of healing for many of you as well as for me. So I thank you for that, because it's been a tremendous 18 months for me personally, being here and being a part of what God is doing here. It's been really good, but a new season is upon us, ladies and gentlemen. And with a new season comes change. And with that change, there's always an element of grief. And my encouragement to you, because life is marked by these seasons, is don't move on from the grief too quickly. Don't move on too quickly. There's a time to grieve and then a time to move forward. There's a rhythm to that. Embrace the new. I like the terminology that Peter used. Like, next week, we're going to call it a service of celebration and sending. That's good, healthy perspective. Because, friends, we're part of a bigger story here. This isn't just about Edgewater. This is God's bigger story, and we're all a part of it. I'm a piece of it, and so are you. We're in this big story. So, yeah, there's a time to grief. There's a time, and I would encourage you not to move on from that too quickly, because the reality, friends, of the universe is one season closes, but guess what? Another one opens. One closes, another one opens, and it's new. And with that new season comes a set of challenges, but it also brings incredible opportunities for you to grow and evolve as a human being, to face that, to move through that. You're invited to become the person that God created you to become. You're becoming. You're not arriving, but you're becoming as the story unfolds. See, when I came to Edgewater 18 months ago, one of the things that was said to me right out of the gate is, how long are you staying? That was one of the first questions that was asked of me. How long are you staying? And inside I'm going, well, I just got here. I'm not totally sure. I don't know. And I didn't know how to answer the question, but that question kept coming up. How long are you staying? And don't leave. And inside I'm thinking, man, I really have no idea, because the way I live my life is I have these open hands and an open heart, and I'm like, I don't know. I don't control seasons. Seasons come, seasons go. I don't control these things. And I've noticed people coming to the realization as we look back at Edgewater's story is that some of us may or may not have properly have grieved the past and some of the things that have happened through the seasons. And I kept hearing in your narrative, John Fanous left us. Right, because it's seasons. That's what happens. And then God brought John Jenks, and then he left. And then God brought John Woolner, and now he's leaving. I'm thinking, like, there's a theme here. Don't hire a John next time you left for a pastor, right? go in a different direction. It's a joke. It's a joke. Maybe an off-color joke, maybe not a good one. But there's that element of like, wow, John Fanous was here, and John Fanous, I love John Fanous. I think John is a credible man of God. And I celebrate where John and Becky are now at University Covenant. I'm so thrilled for them and thankful. I've only heard good things about John Jenks. And where God has him now, is he like Minnesota or something? Duluth. Is that Minnesota? Okay. I've heard of this Duluth. It's somewhere other than California. But there's a season for John, and John Jenks brought in with him this incredible posture to this community to help you and shape who you are becoming as a community. And then Tom Patitucci dropped in a little Italian spice in there. And then you've got John Woolner for a season. And then now that's coming to a close, and you're entering into a new season. And change, my friends, like I said, is always a form of loss. It's always a form of loss. And when people say things to you like, you know what, you should just get over it. No. It's a big deal to you, therefore it's a big deal. If it's how you feel, then it's important because it's how you feel. So don't discredit that or downplay that. Like, I'm sad, or I have these emotions, or I'm grieving the loss of this. It's the reason why you're grieving is because it's a loss. And anytime there's a change, there's a sense of grief that comes along with that. Okay? So it's okay. And my encouragement to you would be to grieve that because you're entering into a new season. My friends, new seasons can be terrifying. They're absolutely terrifying. When we moved here, I took my daughter like midway through her sophomore year and dropped her in a new school. Boom, go. See ya. Have fun. Terrible. Right? Suck it up, kid. Terrible. 3 months of her life. But it shaped her and it molded her, and that new season has brought forth a whole new well of life and experiences that she otherwise wouldn't have experienced. So through that change and through that difficult season, God has brought new things into my daughter's life, really good friends, a boyfriend. I mean, all of these things are just like, this is what makes life so wonderful, is these experiences and these new possibilities. But what I've noticed as I've listened to people talk about their stories is those key moments in life where there was a change or you went through a process of entering into a new season, there's always an element of suffering, isn't there? There's always that element of like, man, that was a really difficult season for me, and there was an element of suffering and pain in there, and those suffering moments and those significant moments of change shaped who you are becoming as a person. They shaped you. I lost a relationship. I got fired. I went bankrupt. I screwed up in my position. It's like all those things are part of our story, and when those seasons come to an end, there's pain, heartache, and grief. That's what makes the Jesus story so incredibly profound to me, because when he comes and he springs forth new life, what does he say? Don't hold on to me. We're going forward. Don't hold on to me. We're not dragging this thing back. We're moving forward into new life. Now, when I came to Edgewater, my plan wasn't to step into this thing and go, when can I leave? I came with open hands and an open heart. And when the season would come to an end, that's when it was over. So the season is coming to an end, and we're moving into a new season. And my sense is, and I'm not just saying this to make you feel good, My sense is that Edgewater is headed into a really good season. You're headed into a good season. I sense that. And because I know who you are as people. And I am absolutely convinced that Pittsburgh needs Edgewater to be here. It needs it. Because it's a good community of people. And I don't want you to lose that, because it's such a good thing. You have such good people here, and they're so diverse, and there's something unique that God is doing here in Pittsburgh. But as you enter into this next season, there's this weird thing that sometimes we don't address in between seasons, and it's called the in-between time. You know what I'm talking about? Like in between season A and season B, which my friend referred to as liminal space. And liminal space just simply means in between. And in the liminal space, that's where things can go really sideways and where we can get really, really freaking out is in the liminal space. Because in the liminal space, there's all this uncertainty. You're like, oh, what's going to happen? What's going to happen next? We want it to resolve right away. And the thing I've noticed in liminal space is like in music, you'll have these things called crescendos, where things get really big and they're like up here and there's almost like this dissonance to it. That's liminal space. And many times what happens in that in-between space is the song doesn't resolve. It just stays here. And you're like, okay, that's fine, but it's making me uncomfortable. And I don't know what to do in this moment. And I've noticed that in liminal space, some call it the desert time of life, it's like this is an incredible opportunity for you to grow and learn how to trust God. Because we don't need to trust God when everything's going well in life. But when things have turned sideways and it gets messy, that's an incredible opportunity for you to learn and to grow and to continue to become the person that God's created you to be. And I've noticed this in my own liminal space. In the liminal space, incredible amounts of healing can happen. As you're waiting, there's all kinds of healing that can come to the human heart, and Jesus enters into that liminal space with us, that in-between. When he first began his ministry, where did the Spirit drive him before he went out and started preaching? To the wilderness. Crap. Just drove him out into the wilderness, out in the desert. He's like, this is a time for you, Jesus, to learn how to be completely dependent upon the Holy Spirit and upon God the Father. That's Jesus. He's a big deal. And he was driven out into the desert. Why do we think that we're exempt from that? We're following Jesus. So life is hard. And anytime you move from one season to the next, there's always this liminal space. And we moderns hate liminal space because we want to control the crud out of everything. But we cannot. Things change. That's the constant. And God's like, in this liminal time, in this in-between time, I'm going to do something. I'm going to form you. I'm going to shape you. I'm going to help you become the people that I've created you to be. So it's a matter of like, okay, my heart's open, my hands are open, and in this time, I don't want to rush through it because it feels uncomfortable. And what we do when we rush through that liminal space is we miss all these opportunities to grow, to trust, to connect, to grieve, to keep your eyes open and your heart open in that posture of openness. My encouragement to you, Edgewater, is sit with the discomfort. Sit with it. Grow up. Mature. Develop. Forgive. Practice forgiveness in the liminal space. It's that uncertainty that pokes at you and prods you, and what it does is it brings an incredible amount of creativity in you. And all this stuff can emerge. And when you do enter into a new season, the temptation many times, and I would encourage you not to get into this narrative, is to criticize the old season. It's like to beat yourself up or to get bitter over the old season. And many times it's important to not think about the old season in terms of right and wrong, because the old season was then and this is now. So instead of getting into categories of right and wrong, I would encourage you to get into the narrative of then and now. That was then, this is now. Then I did it like that. Then that happened. Then that is how I lived. That's what I knew. I was doing the best that I could with what I would have been given. But in this new season, now I'm going to do this. And I'm going to enter into this. And I'm going to learn from it. And I'm going to grow from it. And I'm going to embrace it. and I'm going to discover the healing that Jesus Christ has for me, because he wants to heal. So in this time of entering into liminal space, my encouragement to you is to stay open, honor the King as a community. What does this mean for us? I don't know. What's the next thing? I don't know. But in this liminal space, God wants to do something new inside of you and in this community, and I wholeheartedly believe that. That's been my experience. I've seen it throughout history. I've seen it with people who have gone through these ups and downs and these valleys and these peaks. And my encouragement to you is to look directly into the resurrected Jesus standing in the garden going, I'm going to do a new thing. Who wants in? Are you ready for this new season? I'm ready. I'm all in. When I said yes to Jesus, I said no to John Woolner. I said yes to the King. I submitted to him and his authority. And wherever he takes me, I will go. And wherever he takes Edgewater, come on, let's do this. Because Jesus is in the garden and he says, don't hold on to me. I gotta go. But I'm gonna send someone to you that's gonna help you and encourage you. And his name is the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is gonna fill you with power and understanding and knowledge. And he's gonna give you the power that you need in life to move on to the next thing. So let's trust in God, Edgewater. Let's trust in the Holy Spirit. Let's lean into this next season with anticipation and hope. God's not done with this story yet. We're all in with Christ and what he's doing, the resurrected Jesus. So I'm excited for you. I'm excited for us. I'm excited for what's next, because I know and believe with my whole heart that Jesus is going to do a new thing. That's just not me making it up. That's the biblical story. He's about to do a new thing. So let's embrace that. Receive the good word. Now may the Lord God bless you. May he keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May he lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And may the grace and peace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ be with all of you. Thank you.